Let's continue reading verses 25 through 30 of Philippians chapter 2. In this last section of the chapter, we have another example of a Christian who followed the self-giving attitude of the Lord Jesus. His name was Epaphroditus, and he was a believer from the church at Philippi. Philippians chapter 2, beginning now at verse 25. Yet I considered it necessary to send you Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker, and fellow soldier, but your messenger and the one who ministered to my need, since he was longing for you all and was distressed because you had heard that he was sick. For indeed he was sick, almost unto death. But God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore I sent him the more eagerly, that when you see him again, you may rejoice, and I may be less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such men in esteem, because for the work of Christ he came close to death, not regarding his life, to supply what was lacking in your service toward me. Once again, some background notes. Remember that Paul was under house arrest in Rome when he penned this letter to the church at Philippi. One of the reasons that Paul wrote this letter was to deal with a problem of disunity there in the church at Philippi. Now, how did Paul know about this problem? Chances are that he heard about it from this man Epaphroditus. We learn from chapter 4 that Epaphroditus traveled all the way from Philippi to Rome, a distance of more than 600 miles as the crow flies. And he traveled that distance in order to bring Paul a financial gift from the Christians at Philippi. I'm reading chapter 4 and verse 18. Indeed, I have all and abound, I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. Well, Epaphroditus not only brought the gift, but he brought news from the church as well. The good news was that the church was growing and there were no doctrinal problems and no false teaching had penetrated the church. But the bad news or the sad news was that there was this increasing problem of disunity. What the exact nature of the problem was, we don't know. But from what we learn in chapter 4, it looks like two women in the fellowship, Euodia and Syntyche, were in the thick of things and taking opposite sides on this issue, whatever it was. These two women were Christians. They had even helped the Apostle Paul in the ministry, as we see there in verse 3 of chapter 4. But most likely, they are playing a significant role in this problem of disunity at Philippi because they are singled out by the Apostle Paul. Again, we mentioned that we don't know what the issue was, but it was not something major like some false doctrine or a problem of immorality. It was something minor. But minor matters can cause major disunity in the church. Throughout this epistle, Paul exhorts the Philippians to come to unity. You know, it's interesting to note that Paul uses the phrase "you all" more in the letter to the Philippians than in any of his other epistles because of this exhortation for unity. Paul used the phrase "you all" a number of times in chapter 1, and here in chapter 2, we see it in verse 17, for example. I am glad and rejoice with you all. In other words, I'm not playing favorites. And again, we see it here in verse 26 in reference to Epaphroditus, since he was longing for you all. Epaphroditus was concerned for all the believers there at Philippi. And that then brings us to our doctrinal points or teaching points from this last section of Philippians 2. We have two doctrinal points, and both have to do with sickness, because we learn here that Epaphroditus became sick as a result of his ministry and mission. Therefore, we can learn something here about what the Bible teaches concerning sickness. So, doctrinal point number one, sickness is not necessarily a result of sin. Sickness is not necessarily a result of sin. As most of you know, there is such a thing as sickness because of sin, disciplinary sickness. For example, Paul wrote to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 30, For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. Some of the Corinthians were involved in sin and yet still partaking of the Lord's Supper. God had to discipline them with sickness, even to the point of taking some home to heaven in death. So we see there is a sickness because of sin. But not all sickness is the result of sin. Some Christians have jumped to the conclusion that every time a person is sick, oh, they must be involved in some kind of sin. That's not biblical teaching. Sickness is not necessarily the result of sin. Remember the man born blind in John chapter 9. The disciples, like Christians today, asked the Lord, "Who sinned, this man or his parents?" Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him." John 9, verse 3. Well, Epaphroditus is another biblical case of sickness that is not because of sin. We read in verse 27 that Epaphroditus was sick almost to death. Now, what the sickness was, we don't know. Maybe he caught the Roman flu. In any case, it was not sickness because of sin. In fact, we see from verse 30 here that Epaphroditus got sick in the line of duty. We read, "Because for the work of Christ, Epaphroditus came close to death, not regarding his life, to supply what was lacking in your service toward me." Epaphroditus had gotten sick in connection with bringing this financial gift from the Philippian church to Paul at Rome. So Epaphroditus is a biblical exhibit A to teach that sickness is not necessarily the result of sin. Doctrinal point number two. Sickness is not necessarily an alarm for healing. Sickness is not necessarily an alarm for healing. Some Christians have the idea that when a believer is sick, they should expect immediate healing, even to the point of the use of healing gifts and healing services. Well, then why didn't Paul have a healing service here for Epaphroditus? We know from Acts chapter 19 that God had used Paul to bring healing to people. Acts chapter 19, verses 11 and 12. "Now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and the evil spirits went out from them." But you see, the case of Epaphroditus is different. Sickness is not necessarily an alarm for healing. Paul certainly prayed for Epaphroditus, and God answered those prayers and raised Epaphroditus back up to health and strength. But we don't read of any healing service or any healing gift being used here. Look at verse 27. "For indeed, Epaphroditus was sick almost unto death, but God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow." Notice, by the way, that Epaphroditus was not looking for sympathy or requesting healing. His major concern, as you can see from verse 26, was that the Philippians don't consider him a failure because he got sick. So again, it emphasizes the point that the Bible is teaching here. Sickness is not necessarily an alarm for healing. You know, I once remember having a bad cold and some Christians wanted to lay hands on me and have a prayer service for my healing. Well, I said, "Listen, I appreciate your concern, and I certainly appreciate your prayers, but rather than having a healing service here, let's spend our time praying for our brothers and sisters in communist countries that are undergoing persecution right now." Listen, sickness is not necessarily an alarm for healing. What about practical application? Practical application number one, you don't have to become a martyr to get a martyr's reward. You don't have to become a martyr to get a martyr's reward. Remember the overall point that Paul is making by mentioning Epaphroditus in this section of Philippians. He's an example of a Christian with a self-giving attitude. After the supreme example of our Lord Jesus, now you see three more examples or models are given to show us what it means to have a self-giving attitude. the examples of Paul and Timothy and Epaphroditus. Notice that verse 30 says that Epaphroditus gave of himself, risking his life for the sake of serving Paul and his fellow believers at Philippi. Now, Epaphroditus did not die, but he almost died in giving of himself. Verse 27 says he was sick almost unto death. And verse 30 says, because of the work of Christ, he came close to death. Epaphroditus will be rewarded by the Lord himself in line with his motives and attitudes. Even though he didn't become a martyr physically, yet he can receive a martyr's reward. Look back at verses 8 and 9 of this chapter. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. As the Lord Jesus has been highly exalted because of his self-giving attitude to the point of death, so will all Christians who give of themselves, like Epaphroditus, to the point of not regarding their lives or risking their lives for the sake of Christ. All Christians that have that attitude will be exalted. You don't have to be a martyr to receive a martyr's reward. Many Christians have sacrificed their health and well-being for the sake of the gospel without becoming martyrs literally. And it's not just the foreign missionaries. You may be here this morning and you have the self-giving attitude for the Lord and his people to the point where even your physical health may be suffering. You can be sure that you will be rewarded according to your self-giving attitude. You don't have to become a martyr to get a martyr's reward. Practical application number two. Who are your heroes? Who are your heroes? You know, on our recent trip to the Far East, Margie and I were able to take a trip into mainland China. Our guide introduced himself as Michael. I said to him, "Oh, Michael, like Michael Jordan." He said, "Oh, yes, Michael Jordan." Michael Jordan is a hero around the world. It's unbelievable. Who are your heroes? Paul told the Philippian believers to consider Epaphroditus a hero. Look at verse 29. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness and hold such men in esteem. You know, this is the word of the Lord to us. Regard such Christians with esteem. Do you consider self-giving Christians such as Epaphroditus as heroes? Who are your heroes? You know, it's nice to see Christian athletes with outstanding testimonies like David Robinson and the Dream Team. But here's the point. What about the Epaphrodituses? Those Christians who are not in the limelight, but give of themselves. And many times, they are not noticed. Do you hold Christians like this in high regard? We should. It's a command in Scripture from the Lord, right here. Look around you. I'm sure there are a couple of Epaphrodituses right here in this fellowship. Do you hold these people in high regard? Who are your heroes?